Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Just about a minute after 8 o'clock, and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. My God, if you only heard the cool stuff we could talk about off air, I'd like to keep that going. The president and CEO, the award-winning president and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services, joins us for the WealthWise moment. Good morning, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here and always great to chat with you.
It's so great. And thank you for those 5 minutes of wisdom before we go on air. It was just great to thank you. I really appreciate that. One of the things that you and I were talking about off air, I'd love to start right now and just continue the conversation. And that's home sales and home prices. So I am just coming up on the 1 year anniversary of having purchased a place and really just feel so fortunate of the timing of when we purchased.
Well, you know, I was just looking at mortgage rates. So a year ago, the average mortgage rate was 2.88%.
Right.
And today it is 5.51%. And so, of course, those numbers always fluctuate week by week based on what's happening on rates. But that's the difference 1 year can make. So congratulations.
Thank you.
On locking into your home a year ago, yeah, both on the price and on interest rates. Because what we heard today is that prices are still going up, even though home sales are going down. So it's the fifth month in a row of sales going down, an annualized number of 5.36 million sales.
Right.
You know, that's an annualized number now, which is what has gone down. But housing prices have now gone up even more. So, the average home price is now over $400,000. It's $407,600, which is a record high,
right,
going back to 1999.
Wow.
So that goes back beyond the 2006 height of the last height in the real estate market.
So I think you're trying to tell me I'm sitting on a gold mine.
For now. Yes, for now. Yes. Okay. And so everybody, and it creates what we call that wealth effect. So, you know, people feel good about their wealth when two things, you know, one, the market is higher, and two, the real estate is higher. And so we know that year to date that the market has been down, but the real estate has been higher. So that's been keeping everybody still a little happy because they've got their housing.
Okay, thank you. And then those free 5 minutes you gave me before we went on air, you have a webinar this afternoon. You're just full of information about everything. You have a webinar this afternoon at 1 o'clock, and it's on cybersecurity. Tell us what you intend to talk about.
It's on cybersecurity, and we've got a guest speaker from JP Morgan who leads their cybersecurity division. Of course, JP Morgan, being the huge financial institution they are, they have to take cybersecurity very seriously. And it's amazing. There was $80 billion last year lost in cybersecurity efforts. And so there are a lot of bad players out there that we need to be aware of and we need to steer clear from. And this cybersecurity webinar is to help investors know what to look for, what to do to protect themselves. So 1 o'clock today, we'd be happy to have any of your listeners participate in our webinar.
Thank you. Please tell them how they can join.
So they can email info@wealthwisefinancial.com and say I'm RSVPing for the webinar, and we'll give them the Zoom information on how to join.
Excellent. And I'll make sure we hit that before you and I go off here, because it is an important subject. And I think I'm curious as to, yes, it's you're teaching people how to defend themselves. And I'm curious as to, are a lot of the cyber attacks that you experience or that your customers or clients or whoever experiences, those are coming from overseas?
A lot of it is. But, you know, I'll just tell you a local story that I just heard about that I'm going to share on our webinar. And it was a local company, Newport Beach company, that was in the middle of a deal. And they got an email saying, you know, here's the wiring instructions go ahead and wire the $750,000. And, you know, the CFO of the company wired $750,000. Well, guess where that went? That went to Russia. And that money is never to be seen again. And the bank was Wells Fargo. And Wells Fargo, you know, said, hey, you know, we did everything we were supposed to do, which they did. You know, they followed the wire instructions. It was not the bank's, that was not the bank's fault. They followed wiring instructions. So, you know, the key there, unfortunate situation for the CFO, but the CFO needed to verify, you know, we verify everything with clients to make sure that it is, you know, the instructions that we're getting are the right instructions. That's why we cannot take instructions. We can't take an email. We can't take a text. We can't do any of that. I have to call somebody in my office who's licensed has to call the client, go through the instructions before we're going to be sending out money.
That seems like the right thing to do. It seems like the absolute. Now, is there there are no repercussions if this happens? There are no repercussions. Nobody, you know, nobody
gets gone.
Nobody gets
money's
jailed.
Gone.
Right?
That's,
money's gone.
That's
nobody
where
gets
that
jailed.
When I talk about $80 billion,
right?
You know, that was one of those stories. That's one of those $80 billion. It's crazy, and it's getting much worse, much worse. And I don't think most investors understand the magnitude. And that's why we're having this webinar today, to inform people. And even, you know, I sat through this information myself when I went to New York City and went to JP Morgan and their summit. And even going through it for myself is like, uh-oh, you know, I need to change some things personally on what I personally do, right? So everyone can learn something from this, let me tell you. I did want to go back to the housing thing that we were talking about. The other thing I want to mention is that the affordability index, which tracks affordability of housing, is at its worst since 2006. So we're seeing a lot of, you know, numbers that tell us what happened in 99. Don't forget, that was, you know, we got into the .com. And then in 2006 was the height of the real estate market then. And the affordability index is the worst it's been since 2006. But what's interesting about that number is there's two components. There's the housing cost, and then there's the interest rates. And it tells us on the affordability index how much of the, you know, affordability or the not so affordable number, is it coming from the price or is it coming from the interest rate? And right now, it's actually the interest rate is causing more of a problem than the housing prices are.
And
so that's also interesting data.
We're expecting the next several quarters for the interest rates to rise, correct?
We are.
Okay.
We are. We're waiting on the Fed's announcement towards the end of this month, and what we are expecting is another 75 basis points. I know there's been a lot of chatter about 1%. We're holding to 75. We think it's going to be 75.
Okay. All right. Last week, you and I spoke about the new inflation numbers, that prices were up more than 9% year over year for June. Slower retail sales suggest demand is falling and lower prices might be ahead. The news of that cooled some investors' rate hike concerns. And off air, you told me something about a wall of worry. Why is the market going so well?
Yeah, so the wall of worry are all the things that investors could worry about and do worry about that make them nervous about being invested in the market. And there's always a wall of worry. Sometimes that wall of worry is higher than other times. And right now we've got a very high wall of worry with a lot of things for people to be concerned about. But my message to investors are, if you always just invested based on that wall of worry, you would never make any money. For instance, this week we've been seeing some nice numbers in the market. And so why is the market going up? And it has to do with earnings. So we are in earnings season. And we always start the earnings season with the banks. You know that, Ed, because we talk about it often. And what the banks do is give us a picture of the economy. and what they are seeing with the economy. And what they've been saying is that the consumer is still strong and that they are optimistic about the economy. And so that has given the markets encouragement. That's given traders encouragement about the overall economy. And then as we've seen the earnings numbers, so far profit margins have been decent, have been quite decent. Now we expect those numbers to decrease. It's been about 12.6%. We do expect that number to come down as we hear other segments of the market that may not be able to keep their profit margins as high. But the good news is that so far what we're hearing in earnings season is decent news.
Okay. So is there a chance that the Fed would get even more aggressive, even if inflation starts to drop? Is there a likelihood of that? Or are they, as inflation drops, the Fed would get less aggressive, you think?
Yeah, there is a correlation. They're going to be watching because their intent is a soft landing. And a soft landing means inflation is coming down while the economy avoids a recession. That is what the Fed is looking for. And so every time that they raise rates, and that's why I think it's going to be 75 versus 1%, is that, you know, they want to raise it enough to start really bringing down inflation, but not so much that it stops the economy from moving forward. It stops people from spending completely. You know, our economy is still 2/3 of consumer spending. So we need the consumer to be healthy enough to still spend. And so what we've been seeing is even as consumer sentiment has been very, very low, we've seen the consumer still spend. So what they've been saying and what they're doing, investors, you know, consumers are not happy about inflation. That's for sure. They're grumpy about inflation, but they're still spending their dollars. So they're still spending, and that's what we're watching.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that explanation. Here's my dumb guy question. I'm ready to roll up my dumb guy question for you. I'm noticing, yeah. I'm a Netflix subscriber, and it wasn't long ago that Wall Street and I would have bristled at the grim news about Netflix. Between April and June, they lost like 970,000 subscribers. I wasn't one of them. Yet what I'm finding is shares of Netflix are up more than 6% as of this morning. Did Netflix stocks go up because it could have been worse?
Well, yes. Yeah. So what traders are looking at is what were the estimates and what actually happened. So the estimate was for 2 million subscribers lost. And like you said, less than a million were actually lost. They also announced their new ad strategy that they're going to employ. So they've got a strategy. And so what investors were looking at is the worst over for Netflix and can we move forward now? And that is part of why it is trading, as well as the overall market. Yesterday was, you know, starting to trend upward, and then Netflix got the benefit of that, plus the good, you know, decent earnings report.
Okay. And I have a question I've been really wanting to ask you for a couple of years now, and it's never been able to do it. I want to ask you this morning. Let's say I walk into Wealthwise Financial Services with $1 million. What's the process? What happens?
Sure. So that is our minimum. So our minimum investment to work with us is $1 million. And the first thing that we do is understand what your financial goals are. So right now, you know, how would you describe your top financial goals? From there, we also want to know what is your risk tolerance, because everybody has a different comfort level with volatility in the market. Obviously, people have seen that this year. And so we want to make sure we get that right. So we go through a software program and ask a bunch of questions, and then we go from there on looking at what your risk tolerance would be. So that helps us understand how much in equities versus how much in fixed income. And then we start, you know, looking at, we also look at planning. So financial planning on what do you have now? What are you going to need for, let's say, retirement or those other financial goals, buying another house, whatever those financial goals are, buying a boat. And then we do the planning to see how are you going to get from where you are to where you want to be. And then we start talking to you about how we actually invest the money based on your risk tolerance and what that looks like, and then we start going to work.
Okay. And I would normally say, I guess buying a boat, you got to go, oh, that's not a good investment, man. Don't buy the boat.
Everybody's so here's the thing. I mean, people buy things all the time that are depreciating assets.
Right.
So that doesn't mean, you know, hey, you got to live your life, right? I mean, it's a matter of balance.
You like a boat,
not
buy a boat.
I love boats. Okay, I don't own a boat, but I love boats. They're very fun. So, hey, I'm good with people who want to buy a boat. Not a problem. It's a matter of back to affordability and making sure that whatever you're buying, you can truly afford. And you could afford for it to go down in value, and that's going to be okay.
Okay. Do you have clients that are like on you every day? Hey, how's my money doing? Hey, how's my money doing? Hey, how's my money? Or do you like you set them out with a report once a week or once a month? Or
well, our clients get monthly statements, quarterly reports, and we meet with them really as frequently as they want to be met. Okay, okay. We're very flexible in that way. Most clients want to meet with us once a year and know that we're doing our job in between. And then some clients want to meet four times a year. And there are a few clients that I talk to every month. So it just depends on the client. Okay. And we're happy that we know our clients and we know what it is that they need.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you for that. And thank you for answering that question. I've been dying to ask you that for a couple of years. I want to remind the audience about your webinar this afternoon at 1 o'clock. It's a very, very important webinar for business owners, for anyone really, about cybersecurity. Give us the address, how they tune in, and how we find you on a regular basis.
Yes, you can find us at wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177. And you can email us about the webinar at info@wealthwisefinancial.com.
She's the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, and we are delighted to have her every Wednesday. Thank you so much, Laureen.
Thanks, Ed. Have a good week.
You as well. We'll talk to you soon. 8:19 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed show. We'll be right back.